And we stop talking about the cross and stop talking about the blood. We're going to get ourselves in trouble because we're going to have a church full of people who are wanting God to do something for them, but they forgot about the fact that they're sinners needing a Savior. And we need to really keep our focus on that. Appreciate you being here this morning. Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119, verse 113. If you open your Bible right smack in the middle, you'll probably come real close. Psalm 119. This evening, we're going to have it'll be a regular service, but we'll have a little extra special time. The ordination of Brandon, he was examined yesterday, Brandon Gaskill, and we will have the service. Technically, it's the church that sends him out. And we had pastors from different parts. Brother Gerard came up from Tennessee, and actually Brother Dallas was here from West Virginia. We had Dr. Norris Belcher from Maryland. We had Brother Dale Barrick came down from Carlisle. And we had Brother Jason Gregg from right here in York. And I think who am I missing? Myself, Pastor Burrell, and myself. And so we had him on the hot seat for a couple hours. And then this evening, we'll the deacons and the staff here will ordain pray over him. So it'll be a special time. So I hope you come. Have a little reception afterwards and a little fellowship and some swallowship. And so I hope you'll be here for that. Psalm 119, verse number 13. Psalm 119, you'll notice is split up in sections of 8. And each of those sections has a title. And technically, that title is a letter of the alphabet. And so, the first letter of the alphabet, Aleph, is the first section. And they tell me, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. The Greek owns a restaurant, a Hebrew has a tailor shop. But they tell me that every word, every verse begins with that letter. And so it's interesting the way God can put all those things together. The entire chapter here is about the Word of God. Almost every verse in that chapter actually uses a term for the Word of God. Certainly refers to it. Maybe precept, it may be statutes, it may be commands, it may be judgments. But every one of those, almost every verse in that chapter talks about the Word of God. It's the center of what we are. Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. He's the personification of everything that God is. This is the mind of God. You've heard Raymond Barber often say, he said, when you open the Word of God, you open the mind of God. And then he says, let's see what God is thinking about in Psalm 119. And that's where we are today. And verse number 113. Psalm 119, verse 113. And we're going to read it quick, and then we'll go back and walk through the passage. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. First thing I want you to see here is a connection between God's law and a needed shield and hope in his life. Our theme this year is Jesus, our hope. There are a lot of folks who are lacking hope. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't know how to face tomorrow. And by the way, Christians too. I mentioned this in Sunday school. A lot of folks, you know, they get saved. They know they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. They're saved by grace through faith, not of themselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They know that they're a sinner. The way of the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. They've accepted that gift because God commended his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us, paying for our salvation. It's a gift. It's a wonderful thing. But the fact is, we can be saved and we can have even walked with God for a while and get our eyes off of him. And all of a sudden, we start looking at the waves instead of the Savior, like Peter did. And before long, we have no hope. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place, my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Now that last verse seems very strange when it talks about that he's his hiding place, his shield, his hope, and yet at the same time is saying, I tremble for fear of thee. I'm afraid of thy judgments. Let's pray. And we have done a series of messages. We've had several messages in between here during Easter and Palm Sunday, some other things. And we've been doing a little series on, in thy word do I hope. And today we're talking about promises of hope. And here it is, protection. The promise of protection. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. And I thank you for your word. Thank you that we can hope in your word. Thank you that we do not have to walk away from your word. No, and Lord, we don't have to live without your word. We don't have to live without your promises. Lord, there's folks all around us. There's evil coming from all sides. There's opposition. There's the fiery darts of the devil. But Lord, in thy word we hope shield of faith that we can put on that quenches those fiery darts. That's our hope in your word. So Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this morning. Lord, it'd be one that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that today that you'll speak to their heart and draw them to you. And Lord, it'd be one here that's lacking in hope. Their hope is fading. I pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, I need you this morning. I don't want to stand here and speak your word without your power. So we ask you to move in all our hearts. Give each one what they need, and we'll give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Hope is not a blind, unrealistic, falsely optimistic view of life. Hope is more than just being pumped up on adrenaline, having my spirits lifted by some circumstance or superficial activity. Hope is more than a good situation. Hope is a confident expectation of success and victory based on solid, trustworthy, and the sure promises of God. And we have it recorded right here. Now, some weeks ago, I did a message entitled, We Trust in Thy Word, We Hope in Thy Word. If you don't have hope, life is pretty difficult. I don't care who you are. I don't know about you, there's been times in my life where I was doing just fine and then the phone rang. Or something happened, a conversation. And if we're not careful, for a split second there or so, it's almost like hope just flew out the window. The Bible doesn't say that when we get saved we won't have problems. In fact, many are the afflictions of the righteous, for the Lord delivereth them out of them all. You don't need hope if everything's fine. Hope is not sight. If you have it, then what do you need to hope for? Hope is putting a confident expectation in that which is solid and will not change. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus and righteousness. We found out that first week that we can have hope. The problem is, you say, well, I'm not sure I can have hope. If hope's in God, I'm a sinner. Why would he help me? Well, that's because he has mercy. The problem is we're sinners. Our predicament is, because we are sinners, we're not going to have any hope. How's God going to get me through this? But the promise is that there's forgiveness with him. There's love with him. There's mercy with him. And I have to hope, I need to give myself wholly to him. Receive Christ as my Savior, become his child, then live the way he wants me to live. To live word by word. We were talking in Sunday school here this morning. In 3 John, it says nothing makes me happier than knowing that my children walk in truth. Not just say the children are part of the family, but now we want them to walk in truth. Want them to see them have a successful life. Listen, we're parents here. You know, there's a lot of parents. You've seen your kids grow up, and you want them to have a happy life. And then, you know, your kids get themselves in trouble the first time they get sent to the principal's office. Oh, my soul. Are they going to be able to have a happy life? It sounds funny, but a little bit of hope just kind of ran out about that time. Well, we're going to be, wait a minute. There's hope in the Lord. And no matter how far we've gone, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We come back to him. We draw nigh to him. He draws nigh to us. I'm not saying there aren't consequences that we make, but the fact is, if we will do what he asks us to do, we can bypass most of those things. Now, we found out in Psalm 119, 49, a few weeks ago, he says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So the word gives me comfort. The word gives me comfort. Next, we heard that the word gives us courage. Psalm 119, verse 81. Psalm 119, 81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Man, I need God to help me. He's going to have to pull me out. We're way down. I'm underneath. Listen, I can hardly keep my nose above water. Now, some of you got to keep your whole head, but my nose is big enough. As long as I keep my nose out of the water, I'm okay. God, I got to keep my head above water. How am I going to do that? Listen, he's my hope. I can have courage. I can face tomorrow because his word has promises. Now today, in our passage, hope in his word protects me. Hope in his word protects me. There are many Christians, I truly believe, who are saved. They're going to get to the door of heaven, and the blood of Christ is going to escort them in, so to speak, if you want to say. That's their ticket to done. They've trusted what Jesus did on the cross, and that's a wonderful thing. But I think there's awful lot of Christians who have no comfort, no courage, because they don't think God cares. Or they'll say in their head, I think he does, but I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do anyway. I mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, I think there's folks who say, well, this is, I know I'm supposed to walk in truth and this is truth, but this is really a tough one. I know God can take it. It's almost like, well, you know, I'll trust God as long as I think I have a backup plan. If he fails, I think I can pull it through. You realize salvation has no backup plan. There's no plan B. Either Jesus died and paid for our sins, or he didn't pay for any of them. It's all him. I think that folks run around scared, wondering what's going to happen because they do not hope in his word. Now, we're going to hope in his word, we have to obey his word. You can't hope in his word if you're not doing what his word says. Look what it says here in that first one. It says, hope in his word protects me. Look at verse 1, verse 113. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. He says, I'm not going to put any weight. I want to get away from vain thoughts. That little phrase there, vain thoughts, means skeptics. Watch this. A divided mind. That's what it means. A divided mind. You go to James 1, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He's saying people have lots of ideas of how we are to live life and how we can get ahead and prosper. But he says, listen, I'm not going to listen to all that. I hate vain thought. These people who are one day on fire of the Lord and one day they aren't. One day they're doing what God says. The other day they say, well, I don't think it's going to work. We got to be careful who we're listening to. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of folks who listen to a lot of things they shouldn't be listening to. I don't want to get mad, but there's some things on Christian radio that's going to mess us up. I'm surprised how many radio programs talk, Christian radio programs, and never mention a verse of Scripture. Well, I tried this and this worked, and I did this and this worked. Well, I did this and this worked. Well, I know all the things about marriage because I've been married 5 times, and I can tell you, 2 years ago, we were having a problem. This worked. Okay, well, maybe it did work. That's fine. But it's not that particular thing that worked necessarily, but maybe God led you into doing that. But the fact is, it's the Word of God, not somebody's mind. It's not a self-help book. This is a book to get us to the cross, to yield to Him. He says, I hate these people that are skeptics, these double-minded folks. Verse 114, he says, thou art my hiding place. Not these other folks. Not these other philosophies. Not these other mindsets. Listen, it's like everybody's got a book. I got one, you know. Sits out there for sale, gathering dust. I've got one. Everybody's got a book. And it's like we finally found out. Listen, after 2,000 years since Jesus left, we finally found out the answer. Here it is. Well, if it's any good and if it's the truth, it's already here. Now, we might have expounded on a little bit of something. It was like, oh, I found it. It's like, Josiah's bunch, when they went into the temple looking, they said they found the book. We went into the temple the temple of God, where we're all supposed to meet, we found the book. What book? The book. Where was it? I don't know. It was down the bottom of the shelf. There had dust all over somewhere. But I found the book. And they read it to the king. And he said, oh, my soul, we're in trouble. We're not doing what the book says. It's about the book. We hope in the book. Listen, he says, thou art my hiding place, my covering, my own private protection service. My hiding place, a personal bodyguard, and my shield, my hedge of protection, my defense. He says, I hope in thy word. I patiently wait in trust. I do what he has to do, and then I put it in his hands. He has to bring out the results. He says, I am safe and better off just sticking with the old book of God. There's a lot of folks, a lot of ideas out there. I need to stick with this book. It's much like the breastplate of righteousness. We just need to, if we would just do what God tells us to do, it would protect us from a whole lot of mess. Psalm 118, just flip, if you want to flip the page there to it or two. Psalm 118:4 says this, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Verse 5, 118:5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That means the next president isn't our Messiah. I don't care who he is. Now, most of us already know that. But I don't care if even somebody else was running for president. He's not our Messiah. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. Watch, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Look at verse 115. He said there, one third says, I hate vain thoughts, but I love the law. He says, the Lord's my hiding place. He's my shield. I hope in his word. Verse 15, what are we going to do now? Depart from me, he says, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments. He says, you might as well move on to someone else. You folks who are trying to get me off track, you folks who are trying to fill my mind with the wrong thing. By the way, there's a little thing on this. There's a little black thing in my house with buttons on it. It's called a remote, and it has a power button. If nothing else, use the channel button. Go watch Andy Griffith or something. But listen, there's something else on there if you need to be watching TV. He says, listen, depart from me, ye evildoers. That word evildoer means good for nothings. In fact, those who spoil, to take the goody out of your life. For I will keep the commandments. I'm going to guard the commandments. I'm going to protect them from being molested. I'm going to maintain them. I'm going to obey them. Now watch me. I remember one time when I was down at the church I was at before, a church opened door in Westminster, Maryland. I was down there, and I was on the pastoral staff, and someone came up to me in the hallway, and I was talking to him and chatting and so forth, and I said, well, can you do so? I said, oh yeah. Well, I put the Bible down so I could talk to him. I'd laid it on the table. I said, oh yeah, I'll take care of that. And I walked away, and that church was pretty good. And I walked on the other side of the building, and I got done. It was time to go home. I thought, where's my Bible? Now, I've never lost a purse because I don't carry a purse. Now, I carry my Bible in a little black case, and I don't know. I think some people think I'm kind of liberal looking because I carry it in a case, but I'll be honest with you, that's my Bible. I don't want it to get wet. I don't want to get messed up. I don't want to lose it. I've used that thing, that same Bible, for probably 20 years, maybe more than that. Now, it's got all kinds of chicken scratch you probably wouldn't be able to understand. Sometimes I can't understand it. But I've written in that thing, I've highlighted, and I pointed this, and I got this verse over here, and I'll take a highlighter and draw a verse line over here because it goes with this verse, and go all through that and so forth. And when I thought I misplaced that thing, it was like you ladies misplacing a purse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, I felt violated. I thought, who's looking in my Bible? I hope they won't take that thing. I'm thinking somebody's going to gather up their books. It's going to end up on somebody's coffee table, and it'll be in the abyss, and I'll never see it again. He says, for I will keep the commandments of my God. That word keep has with it, I'm going to guard it. I'm going to protect this. This is my life. Now, I have a terrible memory. But if I go back and look at it, it jars all that stuff back, and it comes back. I've got notes in here. In fact, I've written notes, and I've gone back and read the Bible again. I get ready to write something. Oh, I wrote that in there before. Yeah, well, okay. But I want to guard it. He says, listen, there's a whole lot of folks out there with all kinds of ideas. You see, we're almost like, well, if this doesn't work, I'll go down to the bookstore and find another book. And we'll see if that works. And, you know, if I like a little bit of that, that's fine. I'll add that. Then I'll go down and buy another book. And I'll see if that works. And I'll put a little bit of this and I'll put a little. I don't need all that. We've got the book. And I don't want to lose it. My wife and I tease each other. She reads an old Schofield Bible. Is her of the Bible, and you can buy those and buy those and buy those, and there you can still get those. This is an old John R. Rice reference Bible, and I don't know why, when I first started really getting serious, I got a John R. Rice reference Bible. For some reason, the Bible came alive to me, and I read it, and you know, every Bible is a little different. All the words are in the right place in this Bible. And I try to read her Bible, like I can't find anything in there because the words aren't in the right place, and the same thing, you know, this is just it. Comfortable. It's truth. He says, listen, this is the word of God. He says, you folks that want to take me another place, verse 115, depart from me, get away from me, go mess with somebody else, you good for nothing, you're trying to spoil my life, because I'm going to guard and protect the commandments. You folks that are against me and are trying to destroy me, you folks that are trying to confuse me with a worldly perspective on life, you might as well get out of here, because I'm going to keep doing what God's Word says to do. And as long as I'm trusting God's Word and thus obeying it, I don't have to fear what man can do unto me. I've left the issue in the hands of him who judges righteously. Verse 16. Uphold me according to thy word. Mr. Jagger, come up here a second. This is a good one. I've never seen so many tall preachers yesterday at the ordination. I thought Pastor Dallas was tall, and actually Jason Gregg, I think, was about that much taller than he is. Believe it or not, he just, Pastor Dallas has a little bit more meat on him as well. But big guys, and all these guys, and Mark's tall. Now, this is my son-in-law. Watch me. Here's a word. He says, uphold me according to thy word. Now, I know I'm not the skinniest guy in the world, but you're not either. You can... And you're saying, you're doing all right here. Let me lean on you. Let me lean on you. That's what it says. Lean on him. Uphold me. He's doing pretty well. He's not even grunting. He's not even breathing hard. I'm putting some weight on him. Now, if this old boy can do that, young boy can do this, this young man can do that, what do you think God can do? Sometimes I think we're worried. Well, I don't want to put too much on him. He might, he might be more than God can handle. I've heard people say, well, you know, with all the things God has to deal with in the world, I'm not going to bother him with mine. You ever notice almost every president, when they go in, have dark hair, and when they come out, they have white hair? Did you ever notice that? Even Barack's got that going on there. They say it comes from stress. Your hair falls out because of stress, and after a while it can't make any more pigment, so it turns white. My hair was dark when I came here as pastor, too, by the way. But that's what they say. The fact is, I wouldn't want to be the president of the United States for anything. I don't care how much you pay me. I wouldn't want that job for nothing. I tell you what. But it's no difficulty for God. There's days when I've had so many things on my plate, and sure enough, somebody walks in the door. It's just a little thing, but it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. I can do 28 things at the same time. When 29 comes, everything just goes crazy. No, actually, about two or three things. But it all goes crazy. That's not a problem with God. He says, listen, uphold me. Prop me up. Let me lean and rest on you. Uphold me how? According unto thy word. Just like your word says you'll do. Uphold me that I may live, that I may be revived and continue to live. Watch, I like this. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. If I trust God, what if it doesn't work? That's what we think. What if it doesn't work? Hang on to me. Watch it. What do you mean, does it work? So you have a preconceived result that you're looking for. And if he doesn't meet your expectation on your timing, you think he messed up. Well, first of all, maybe he's got a different timing. He may be running on London time or something. I don't know. He may be looking at something totally different. Listen, we think this such and so has to happen, or we failed. And he says, you don't want that. When I should have listened to him. This was 1986. And the Ford Aerostar, right there, is a problem. But anyway, just teasing. The Ford Aerostar just came out. It was 1986, the brand new model. I didn't realize that. The Chrysler had come out 2 years earlier, and I didn't realize that. And I just liked this Ford Aerostar minivan. I thought it was really cool. It's one of those that looked like a spaceship, you know. And I just felt like I had to have it. I was doing a lot of singing at some other churches. We were doing a little traveling. And I built this little console, put it in here, you know. It was really cool. And it was really nice. And I just felt like I had to have it. And it's almost like if you don't get it, then God failed you. You know what I mean? I hate to say it, but that's kind of you feel. And so I bought that thing. We had an awful car payment, which I caused. It was in the shop 10 times the first year. One time, my son and I, we were riding up the road, and all of a sudden I heard this, "Yit-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t out the pulley on the front of the engine that runs all the belts. Twisted off the front of the engine. I mean, it just twisted off the front of the engine. That meant you had no water pump, no power steering, no power brakes. I mean, it was everything just went boom. Now, the fact is, I probably could have paid a whole lot less for a car that wouldn't have done that. But it wasn't what I wanted. Well, it didn't work. I didn't work his plan. God's plan always works if we work the plan. It just may not have the attributes that we were looking for, but it may be exactly right what he wanted us to do. He says, uphold me. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not turn pale, disappointed, embarrassed of my hope in what I have put confident expectation in. He says, hold thou me up. In other words, you will support me, and I know you will. He watched. Look at verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will respect unto thy statutes continue. That word respect means I'm going to gaze at, inspect, consider. You know what he says? He says, I'm going to trust and lean on the everlasting arms. And meantime, I'm going to have respect. I'm going to keep looking at his law and his commands. Just keep making sure I'm on course. Yep. But what does that have to do with this? I don't know, but I'm supposed to do it. What does this have to do with what we're trying to get up? It makes no difference. Listen, God likes to do the supernatural. He wants us to trust in him. And what we're trusting him about may not have anything to do with what we need to happen. But we're supposed to do it because we're supposed to do it. He says, I will do what you tell me to do, and I will wait for you to do what you promised to do when the time comes. This is a prayer which is utter dependence upon God, and it's given in hope of God's word, at confident expectation. This is what he told me. This is what I've got to do. And if I do that, he's my shield, my hiding place. It protects me. It keeps me out of trouble. Look at verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes. For their deceit is falsehood. He's saying, you walk right over those that stray away from your word. So I'm not going there. He says, you walk right over those who stray from your word. I'm trusting in you. I'm going to keep doing your word. It boggles my mind sometimes. The people come, you know, and I feel bad for them, and I want to fix them, and I understand it, but we do our own thing. I said it in Sunday school. We're part-time Christians looking for full-time benefits. I did it. I went to church a few times. Well, I did that. Well, we did some other things too, but you know, I did that. So you know what? This is supposed to count out and outweigh all this. There's no balances here. There's no scales in heaven. Every decision stands on its own. And every decision has a consequence. Maybe good, maybe bad. We cause our own problem, and we wonder why things aren't working. He says, listen, I'm going to stick with you because I know it doesn't work well for those who go against it. So I'm just going to, I'm not going to do that. Look at verse 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. Watch this. He says, I love hearing, the word testimony means the stories, the account of things. He says, I love hearing the stories of how you have cared for those who have placed their hope in you. It encourages me to hear how you stop those who set out to destroy your people. Several times in the Old Testament, it talks about how they went to battle, but they never had the fight because they fought each other before they ever got to the other battle. Everybody else, all their enemies all fought each other. And they show up in time and just say, well, okay, well, let's just take the spoil and go home. You know, they faced a battle with the singers out front. Now, as you can tell, I was not an athlete in high school. I was a musician. When it comes time for the big homecoming game, you don't send out the choir boys. Now, we had one that was big enough for the front line all by himself, but you don't send out the choir boys. But if God says send out the choir boys so he gets all the glory, send out the choir boys and he'll get all the glory. Let him praise the Lord because God's already given the victory because he's already given his promise. Look at verse 120. Come down the end here. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee. I love this. You know the word trembleth? It literally means my hair stands on end. Do you ever get that, you know, kind of a chill run down your spine? It's kind of like, oh my soul, this is the real thing here. We're facing something big. He says, you know what? It's not just like, yeah, okay, I fear God. I fear God. You know? Well, I got to watch out things like this or something. But hey! You're too cool. Supposed to jump a little bit. Help me out here. He says, I'm almost scared to death not to do what God says. Because I know it's a life and death decision. I can decide to follow God or I can decide to go away from God. I can decide to go toward blessing even though it doesn't make sense sometimes. Even when it looks like I'm going into the heat of the battle. But if God wants me in the heat of the battle to show who he is to give me life, then I need to go into the battle, not out of the battle. He says, I tremble. He says, the hair on my head, the back of my neck, is on my arms, is standing up. I mean, listen. He says, I'm trembling for fear of thee. He says, and I am afraid of thy judgments. He says, listen, that word afraid means I revere to the point of fearing if I don't revere. Let me say that again. I revere his judgments, his decisions. Well, I'm not sure I like God how he handled this. He says, that makes my hair stand on end. The fact is, I've had people come to me and said, I'm thinking about doing so-and-so. I'm thinking, oh, my soul. Makes my skin crawl just thinking about the fact that they're going to do something I know God doesn't want them to do. I don't want to go there. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. He says, I revered to the point of being afraid of what he might do if I don't revere. We say, he's an awful mean God. No, he stands for truth and righteousness. And if you're on the side of truth, you're in good place. If you try to do your own thing, you're outside of the umbrella of his blessing. I'm reading out of, I think it's 2 Timothy tonight. And it talks about in the last days, perilous times shall come. And as I read down there, I just started to weep because that's where we are in our world. I know, I'll get to the point, I always like to watch the news, but I'm almost getting to the point I can't. This world is scary. I don't want to face the world without the blessings of God. I'm scared to death not to. And even if Barack Obama wants to say that we people in Pennsylvania are weak and we cling to our religion and our guns, I'm not clinging to religion. I'm not clinging to my gun. But if you got one, hang on to it. But I am clinging to him in whom I believe. And I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. My fear is not in men or circumstances. God is bigger than all those. Listen, I am big time serious about staying with God, obeying him, and claiming his promises. If you're going to, listen, if you're going to stay away from the depths of depression, you're going to have hope. And if you're going to have hope, you're going to have something other than yourself to trust in. If you're going to have hope, you're going to have something else. Listen, the fear of the Lord and hope go hand in hand. If we do not fear God, then we must think we're bigger than God. If we're bigger than God, then there's more reason to hope in ourselves than in God. And people do that. But if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we are not all that in a bag of chips. No wonder we're scared to live life, because we're trusting in ourselves. No wonder we have no hope. God's word is our hope. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the support, the foundation. Faith is that foundation of what we hope for. We got to trust in what he says. The foundation of our hope is our faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I hope in thy word. Now, once again, if you knew God for who he really is, and all that he really is, I think you'd have no question about his power and his authority and his love and his mercy. You'd have hope. A few weeks ago I sang, "Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace." But there is grace. And since there's grace, there's hope. Well, I don't like what's happened. God's been good in my life. Listen, maybe problems, things we don't have, but God's been good. In his word do I hope. The old song says, I've had my share of hard times, wouldn't change them if I could. Because through it all, God's been good. When I hope in God's word, I'm hoping in God. That hope puts all the power of heaven into play on my behalf. Thus, that hope in his word brings protection, it brings comfort, and it brings courage. I can face tomorrow because I have hope. Here's an old song. Yeah, I like it though. Yeah, you pray for it. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. I just keep trusting my Lord on the narrow way. I just keep trusting my Lord as He leads each day. Though the road is weary at times and I'm sad and blue, I just keep trusting my Lord, He will see me through. He's a faithful guide, such a faithful guide. He is always there, walking by my side. Though the road is weary at times and I'm sad and blue, I just keep trusting my Lord, He will see me through. Hope in His word. Comfort, courage, and protection. But don't walk away from it. Those who will cause you to, depart from me. Father, thank You for speaking to hearts here this morning. I don't know where they are in their walk with the Lord. You know hearts. The Lord, there's probably someone in here who's having trouble. Right now looks awful dark. Like we sang that song a little while ago, the solid rock, the veil, the clouds, you know, the veils your face. The fact is, you're still there. You haven't gone anywhere. We need to just take Your word and do what we're told, even when we can't see You. Lord, speak to hearts. Their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed.